Sí.
Wanted to tell programs on the radio this week. One, of course, you might expect this time of year, Scrooge. Everybody knows about Ebenezer Scrooge. Everyone hates Ebenezer Scrooge at the end. No, at the piano. And then he transforms from the grumpy, unhappy individual into someone who's joyful like a child. And the other program I heard too was a TED talk. And those are always interesting. And it's the way they fit together was kind of cool because the TED talks was about can money buy happiness? And it turns out there have been some experiments on this, and the answer is it depends. I'll tell you about one of the experiments. There were some researchers who approached university students in Canada and asked them if they wanted to be part of an experiment. And they say yes, and they'd ask them several questions. One of those questions was to rate your happiness on a scale of 1 to 10. And in North America, we are really very wealthy, and most of us rate our happiness 7, 8, somewhere around there. Now, after they rated their happiness, they were given an envelope. It had money in it. And they were told, you have to spend this on yourself and come back here at 5 o'clock today and tell us how you spent it. And then another group was approached and given an envelope of money and said, you have to take this envelope and go spend it on someone else and come back here at 5 o'clock and tell us how you spent it. And so they did. And what they found was that people who spent it on themselves, it wasn't a lot of money, you know, maybe 20 bucks or something, anyway, tended to just put it in their wallet and use it the way they would use any money they have. Maybe, you know, get a cup of coffee, pay for the dry cleaning, that sort of thing. When they came back at the end of the day, one of the questions they were asked was to rate their happiness, and the rating they gave themselves was essentially the same. The group that had been given the envelopes and told to spend it on someone else, whether they said, well, I bought a teddy bear for my daughter, or I gave it to a homeless person on the street, or however they spent it, when they came back, their happiness had gone up a notch or two. Now you say, well, these are university students in a fairly wealthy country. But they repeated this in many different cultural settings to account for ethnicity, to account for economic status. They repeated it in Uganda. And the results were the same. It seems to be across the board at the end of the day. So, how happy are we? Now, here in the United States, in terms of income distribution throughout the world, we are the 1%. And it turns out that the very poorest of Americans, the poorest 5%, are richer than nearly 70% of everybody else living on the earth. So let's put it this way. If your family income is $10,000 a year, you're wealthier than 84% of the world. If it's $50,000 a year, you make more than 99% of the world. So even though you may feel sometimes like you're really struggling, actually, here in this country, we're so rich in money and opportunities and all those things. So that brings us back to the question, how happy are we? Now, some of you old timers might remember a very old black and white TV show called The Millionaire. And each episode had the same plot. A man would approach a stranger and give them $1 million on behalf of this fabulously wealthy benefactor who was a sort of anonymous Robin Hood. And the reason I say sort of is because he always gave his name, John Beresford Tipton. Isn't it amazing what you remember over the decade? Oh my. Well, the rest of the show would always follow the recipient to see what they did with their money and how it all turned out. Some lives were ruined. And some lives were pretty wonderful. I seem to remember the lives that turned out well pretty much all involved giving at least some of the money, just as John Beresford Tipton himself had done. Maybe that was his happiness boost for the day. And this show was, of course, decades before that 21st century experiment. So it always got me thinking about what I would do with $1 million or if I won the lottery and how much I would give to others. Because after all, you'd think that those who have a lot to spare would be really generous with their money. And some are. But ironically, America's poor are its most generous givers. So I found an interesting story about giving in this country, and it had been written in 2009, but the numbers today haven't really changed. And the title was America's Poor Are Its Most Generous Givers. So it says, the poor as a group, over here, the lowest 20%, are the most charitable. They give the largest percentage of their incomes to charity. The article begins with a story. When Jody Richards saw a homeless man begging outside a downtown McDonald's recently, he bought the man a cheeseburger. There's nothing so unusual about that, except that Richards is homeless too. So that cheeseburger was an outsized chunk of the $9.50 that he had managed to panhandle that day. So it seems the generosity of poor people is not really rare, but it seems to be rarely noticed. America's poor donate more as a percentage of what they have than higher income groups. And they've even shown that in hard times, their generosity declines less than the generosity of richer individuals when the economy slumps. It's not a blip phenomena. The numbers hold steady from year to year. The poorest 20%, incomes averaging, you know, $10,000 and below, give it more of their capacity, an average of 4.3% to charitable organizations, which, of course, doesn't count the money that they might give to a friend who's being evicted or, you know, homeless people and so on. Now, the next highest income groups tend to give pretty much in proportion to their capacity. And those at the top, the richest 20%, give it less than half the rate as the poorest people, 2.1% as opposed to 4.3% of their income. When you take into account the way our tax system works, that's kind of ironic because from an accounting perspective, since the poor don't earn enough to itemize their deductions, a dollar to charity costs them a dollar. But that dollar costs itemizers only about 65 cents. And for those who come from other countries, the contrast in giving is even more stark because these figures undercount the money that immigrants send to family back home. So I might ask, how do you explain this? Why are Americans so generous? So they asked some of the people in the lowest income group for their theories. And they found that their answers were often expressed in personal terms. For example, I've been in their position. and someday I might be again. And several people said that the poor give more money because they worry less about their money. We're not scared of poverty the way rich people are. We know how to get the lights back on when we can't pay the electric bill. We've been through it and we have survived it. Some simply said, have you ever looked into the face of someone you're being generous to? And many said, and it gives the heart comfort. But we're so rich here, and so much is asked of those to whom much has been given. So this time of year, we think about others in need when we pass those Salvation Army workers ringing their bells. And we think about them when we wrap up a gift to drop off at Toys for Tots. And we think about them when we put something in an envelope for the trash collector or the paper boy or anyone whose hard work all throughout the year goes unsung. I'm asking you to think about them today because of our sixth principle that we just read, and because CSC is blessed with a special opportunity. Our congregation makes a commitment to help the unfortunate in Fairfax County every year for one Sunday, and we partner with Our Daily Bread. And this is the box that that Chesley was mentioning that we keep in the back at this time of year. Our Daily Bread works with churches and other groups to deliver food and necessary supplies to families in Fairfax County who are struggling for one reason or another. Most are hardworking people who never thought that they need to accept food and money from strangers to provide for their families. Usually they're the working poor, often juggling multiple jobs, or people who live paycheck to paycheck. Any kind of unexpected expense, whether it's medical bills or a rent hike or a car repair, can send them spiraling from self-sufficiency to the brink of homelessness. So what does CSE do? We raise money and buy grocery store gift cards, which we get a discount on since we buy them in bulk, and we mail them to the families on our list. And those gift cards, instead of bringing a bag of groceries like we used to do maybe 10 years ago, the gift cards allow each family to decide what they need the most. You know, baby food or whatever they need under their circumstances. Well, look around you. In past years, with a larger congregation, we raised thousands of dollars. And last year, thanks to your generosity, we were able to give a minimum of $100 in grocery store gift cards to even the smallest household on our list. Here are the letters that we received from families last year. It's about five or six of them here. One says, my daughter, Chanel, and I would like to thank you and your organization for the gift cards we received today. These gift cards allowed us to get supplies and food we needed for at least 2 weeks. I do a lot of household budgeting, and I teach Chanel the power of a dollar when finances are not stable. My family's situation has taught us to be conscientious of our spending and to compromise between our wants and our needs. And this one. I'm sorry about the writing paper, but I want to thank the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment for the help I received to get food that I would not have been able to get without your help. I was able to pay some of my bills, rent and lights, etc., because you gave me the money for the food. So thank you again, and God bless all of you. I'm not going to read all of them, but that gives you an idea. So I'll be honest, we are struggling to raise the money this year. It's already December 14th, We have only 2 more weeks to do it. I'm asking you, please do what you can to help us meet our commitment. Think about what you can give and then give a little more. Let's fill this box. Or you can use PayPal on the CSE website if you prefer. We're so rich. And I just want to leave you with a very, very good reason to do this. It gives the heart comfort. Bless you.